Welcome to episode 5 of the Coquitlam Express Inside Track Podcast. I'm Eddie Gregory, the play-by-play broadcaster of the Coquitlam Express, alongside Jacob Lazar, the director of communications for the Coquitlam Express and social media wizard and everything surrounding all that. And we come to you now from the Poirier Sports and Leisure Complex after the Express came home after 3 successful games in the interior last week with a 9-2 victory in Merritt last Tuesday, and then a big one, 3-2 over the Penticton V's last Friday, and then wrapping up the week with a 5-2 victory in Trail on Saturday. But the one on Friday night, Jacob, is the one that obviously really, really stands out, as it was a historical night for the Express on Friday with that 3-2 victory, as the Express got the win in regulation, which they needed in order to clinch first place overall in the BCHL standings and win the Ron Boileau Trophy for the first time ever in the Express franchise history for a team that dates back to the 01-02 season when it came into the league. And you know, Friday was a very, very historical night and a memorable night for a very memorable regular season.
Yeah, and for you, Eddie, you've been a part of this organization in some form since that inaugural season. You know, I'm sure for you, this really meant a lot deep down. And, you know, you were excited, obviously, but I could really tell that it meant a lot to you, and I'm sure it meant a lot to a lot of people that have been following this Express team, that have been a part of this Express team. You know, it really is a special moment when you can come together and finish off, well, not officially finish off, but cap off this amazing season with an honor like that.
I mean, of course. I mean, like you say, I've been involved since year one, and I mean, I've seen, you know, the highest of highs,
yes,
that this team has gone through, whether it be their national championship in 2006 or their second BCHL championship in 2014. But for the most part, regular season success for the Express in their history has been relatively limited, as prior to this season, the Express had never won a division title. They had never, ever come close to finishing first overall in the BCHL. So, you know, to have a regular season like this and, you know that the team has the best record in the league and you want to see them finish it off, and, you know, it certainly was an enjoyable ride, and it was satisfying for me personally to kind of think back throughout my time here with this team and, you know, seeing what it's gone through, you know, struggling along to be competitive and gain respectability and everything like that. And deep down, always kind of hoping that there would be a regular season like this to, you know, hopefully go into the postseason as a favorite to try and win the BCHL championship for a third time in team history, and, you know, maybe trying to take a run at a national championship. And, you know, without a doubt, I definitely felt a little bit of pride, and I felt a little bit of excitement after the game on Friday night in Penticton.
Yeah, and I mentioned when you brought me on to the post-game show on the broadcast, you know, obviously I haven't been around this organization nearly as long as you, but I grew up in Port Coquitlam. I was a fan of the Express. I went to games in Burnaby. When they moved back to Coquitlam, I came out to tons of games in those first few seasons back in this building, and it meant a lot to me too. I felt a sense of pride and a little bit like, wow, I can't believe, you know, a team that I was a fan of as a child, now I'm working for them, and now I'm a part of, you know, in a little way, a part of the greatest regular season in franchise history. But we mentioned, sorry to interrupt, but we mentioned on that broadcast, we're not done yet.
And that's just it, right? Like, that's just the next accomplishment that the team has chased down. And, you know, I mean, we've seen, whether it's BCHL, Major Junior, National Hockey League, you know, best record in the league certainly means a lot, and it's certainly something to be proud of. But at the end of the day, teams are remembered for what they do in the postseason. And the postseason will begin in a couple of weeks' time. But in order to achieve the best record of the BCHL on Friday night, the Express needed a postseason-type effort against Penticton.
They did. And honestly, I thought both the game in Penticton and the game in Trail, we saw really good, complete efforts from the Express. And I almost even thought the effort in Trail might have even been a little bit better. And yeah, you score a few more goals. But I thought overall, two games in difficult buildings to play in. You know, there were, when you go out to Penticton and Trail and you're playing in front of 2,000-3,000 fans, and they know their hockey, they love their hockey, they're loud, they're excited, there's an atmosphere in the building, it's sometimes tough and intimidating for teams to go in there and pick up points. And the Express went and they stuck to their game plan. I thought it was a very good effort against Penticton, and obviously Clay Stevenson kind of stole the show a little bit. He had a great game, but Greg LaPointe scoring a clutch goal, and then 17 minutes left in the third period, they were able to play solid defensively, limit Penticton's opportunities, come out with the 2 points.
And we mentioned it as we wrapped up the broadcast on Friday that, you know, the work that this team has done defensively all year long, not just in games, but in practices as well, as the Express are still the top defensive team in the BCHL, you know, all that work really paid dividends against a good team like Penticton, especially on Friday night.
Yeah, and I believe it was 6 shots allowed in the third period of that game, and I think 1 or 2 of them came before the Express even scored 3 minutes in. So when you're giving up 4 or 5 shots in the final 17 minutes of a period to hold on to a lead against a team like Penticton, who is right behind you trying to catch you for first place in the league, that really shows a pure commitment from these players to buying into the defensive systems, buying into what the coaching staff is preaching to them, and being ready for playoffs, because that's what you're going to need out of your 18 skaters and your goaltender when you're playing postseason hockey.
I mean, I'll admit that going into the game on Saturday against Trail, you know, with first place overall all wrapped up and the excitement and everything surrounding that, I was a little leery going into the game on Saturday of Trail of a possible letdown.
I felt that too.
And you know, I mean, I think it kind of showed you what this Express team is truly made of, that, you know, they easily could have taken their foot off the gas, but, you know, they found a way to have another solid effort. And we were coming out of that game on Saturday against Trail talking about a lot of players that had a lot of key efforts at both ends of the ice. And I think we'll probably get into that now. And maybe let's start with guys like Adam Trotman and Massimo Rizzo down the middle. And Jason Forte really leaned on Adam Trotman a lot in the faceoff circle in Penticton, did it again on Saturday in Trail, but we also noticed Massimo Rizzo at both ends.
Yeah, to start with Trotman, when Ethan O'Rourke went out of the lineup with his injury, it kind of left that hole where, like, who's going to be your big faceoff guy? You know, who's gonna be that big body presence, you know, on the power play? And we've seen Trotman kind of take that over. He scored a power play goal in Penticton to open the scoring. He's taken all these big faceoffs, but he's really filled out his game. He's playing to his strengths, and that is being a big, strong physical force, but not necessarily by running around throwing body checks, but just by being tough to play against, being tough to knock off the puck, winning puck battles, and being a 200-foot player. And I think Trotman's defensive side of his game has helped open him up for more offensive opportunities. And then for Rizzo, in the same breath, I think Massimo Rizzo has started to really develop his defensive game as well. And we saw it with your goal call of the season in Trail when Massimo Rizzo ended up batting a puck one-handed out of the air.
And we just watched that video again today. And from our vantage point, from where we were in the booth up in Trail on Saturday, we didn't really get a good appreciation for just how good it was.
Spectacular on the
video. And then we see it on the replay where the camera's on the other side of the ice, the same side of the ice where the puck was. That's where you really get to appreciate. Like, Rizzo didn't just swat at the puck that was lying on the ice and just put it in front on a hope and a prayer. He knocked it out of the air from 6 feet, 6 inches off the ice and got it in front and banked it in.
And that play happened because he made a play in his own zone. And Kent Johnson tried to go between the legs, score a fancy goal, and that extra split second gave Rizzo the time to make a play, take the puck off him, and move it up the ice. And when I think about Massimo Rizzo and when he's been at his most effective this season, it's when he's not trying to do everything himself and he's playing a little more simple. And that means winning puck battles in the D zone, taking pucks off of guys, and just moving it up ice with speed. Because very few players in this league, especially defenders in this league, can match Massimo Rizzo's speed when he's simplifying his game and moving up north-south quickly.
And just in general, he's just hard to knock off the puck. I mean, when the puck's on his stick, like, how often does he lose it? Not very often, I don't notice.
Especially right now with the way he's playing, when he's playing with some confidence in all three zones. He's been a lot tougher to knock off the puck. And I think that's going to benefit him going into playoffs, where you're going to see teams be more physical with him, like we saw throughout parts of the season. So he's definitely going to have to keep that stride going right now, where he's being tough to knock off the puck, where he's being a little bit stronger on the puck, because if he keeps his game simple like that, he's going to be a huge contributor in the playoffs.
I mean, you just have to look at the last minute of both the games in Penticton and Trail and who was on the ice for both of those third periods or last minute shifts.
Yeah, and he scored an empty net goal in Trail. He almost had an assist on an empty netter in Penticton, and he was the guy that got the puck out of the zone there to seal that win in Penticton. So I really like how his game has developed throughout the season. Obviously, early on, you saw the offensive upside and the skill, but the defensive zone still needed a little bit of work, and he's put in that work for sure.
I mean, we've talked a lot about defense and everything like that about this group, and rightfully so, and that's what's carried this team where it's at right now. And you know, you're starting to get to the point, you're really starting to say X number of players are playing some of their best hockey of the season, and without a doubt, another guy that's on this list, he's probably been on that list for about 3 weeks to almost a month, and that's defenseman Nick Carabin. And you know, we've always known that he was a good skater. He could, you know, play with his head up and move the puck and make smart decisions with it, but now he's really starting to use all those tools all over the ice on the express back end.
And I think he's been more physical recently too. He's willing to throw the body around. He's not a big kid.
No.
But he's sneaky when he gets positioned to throw a body check. And he's working harder in the corners, in the rough areas, being more physical, because that really wasn't what he was sold on when he came to this team. We saw, like you said, smooth skating, puck-moving defenseman who can make plays. But now he's added that shutdown element to his game. And paired with Drew Cooper, I think that's a very difficult D pair to play against. Like, if you're on a best-of-seven series and you got one line that you're relying on to score, and they matched up against Cooper and Carabin almost every shift, good luck.
I mean, just ask Kent Johnson how good Drew Cooper was at times on Saturday night.
Yes, and I think that pair, when both of them are on, is going to be, I don't want to say it's going to be the one reason that the Express can win a championship. There are so many things that have to fall into place, but I think that is one of the key matchups that you'll have to look at, how that pair specifically, and things can change, but right now that looks like a legitimate shutdown pair, how that pair can match up against some of the best offensive players in this league.
And part of the reason why the Express have that pair is now that the defense is fully healthy and the top six are playing the way that the team envisioned when they acquired Wyatt Head from West Kelowna and Joey Berkopek from the Merritt Centennials and the recent returns of Noah Della Durante and Stephen Bellini to the back end. So, you know, this defense is now what the coaching staff has envisioned.
Yes, and quickly, just want to congratulate Wyatt Head. He received an NCAA scholarship to the University of Alaska Anchorage, and he'll join a former Express captain in Troy Robillard there next season. So that's just another tip of the cap to how good this back end has been since they've gotten healthy and put together as the six that were envisioned.
And obviously, one of the main reasons why the Express have the best record in the league is they have arguably an MVP on their roster, and that's goaltender Clay Stevenson. And, you know, we've discussed the situation regarding his NCAA situation and his ineligibility for the postseason in the past, but, you know, it officially became official with his last game being on Friday night in Penticton and the 3-2 victory there, and, you know, making Express history on a number of occasions with that victory, not only helping the team win the Ron Boileau Trophy, but he also set a franchise record for wins in the season with 30, breaking the mark set by Kevin Jepson in 07-08. And I mean, what a fantastic way for Clay Stevenson to go out. And then obviously yesterday the team did a very nice job of basically releasing a statement in some ways to confirm what most people knew about his situation, but also getting the word out there to be expressing how grateful the organization is for everything that Clay Stevenson has done for this team on the ice, not only this year, but his 3 years with the team.
For sure. And when you look at Clay and you speak to him, he's such an intelligent young man. He's got a great head on his shoulders. He's matured so much in his time here, and he's really become one of the leaders of this Express team. He is going to go down as the greatest goalie in franchise history. I mean, can you argue anybody else after the way he's played this season? It's going to be tough.
Well, I mean, I look at the way Bryce Luker and Gordy Dayfield played in 06 and 2014, and unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get that comparison.
I know.
I mean, I hold the way Dayfield played in 2014 at a really, really high level, and the same with Bryce Luker, but I mean, the way Clay Stevenson played, especially this season, there's no reason to think that he was going to take his foot off the gas. He was probably going to play at that exact same level in the postseason, and that's what the team is missing out.
I know, and it's unfortunate we can't see him in the playoffs, but the team fully supports him in this whole situation. He's putting his education and his life first, and how can you possibly, and I'm going to go on a little rant here, because I saw some stuff on social media, some people that think they can just say, oh, well, you know, it's selfish of him, he should have changed schools. How can you tell a young man, especially who's gone through the kind of year that Clay has, to do something like that? Nothing is guaranteed. And he's got a school that had been recruiting him since he was a 17-year-old playing Junior B. And they gave him a scholarship. And they want him to be there. And he's going to go there and he's going to have a chance to be a starting goaltender at an NCAA school with a rich hockey history. And he's going to get a great education. How can you possibly look at Clay and question his character after that. And there were some people on Twitter that have absolutely no idea of the situation, people who don't even follow the Express or the BCHL chiming in, and I think you really, if you think that, you got to look yourself in the mirror, because Clay Stevenson is a young man that I'm proud to know, because he's got such great character, and he's going to go far in life, and you know what? The decisions that he had to make and what he had to go through this season is admirable. He's got the full support of every single player on this Express team.
And when you are around the game of hockey and you always hear the phrase, you don't really know what it's like in the room, and you and I can't really say we really know what it's like, but we have an idea.
Yes.
I mean, when we say Clay Stevenson is beloved in that room, he is beloved in that room. And when I talked to him after his last game on Friday in Penticton, we chatted on Saturday, and, you know, it's not the first time he expressed it, but, you know, the way the team rallied around him when they needed him at his most vulnerable time, shortly after his mom passed away, I mean, you can't put into words the value that what that meant to Clay in terms of helping him support a young man in a very, very difficult circumstance.
Yeah, and everything that the team gave to Clay, he gave right back as the season went along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think that the entire situation, it showed Clay's maturity. It helped him mature even more. I'm running out of words to say to describe Clay Stevenson and the season that he's had. And you know, I want to congratulate him on everything he's done for this team. I want to thank him for everything he's done for this team. And he's going to go to Dartmouth, and he's going to be a star.
Yeah, and we're going to be watching him for 4 years at Dartmouth, probably do very, very well there. And there's really a part of me that would not at all be surprised after Simon's Dartmouth is done that NHL teams are knocking on his door, because, I mean, how do you not be interested in a goaltender that's 6'4" and as athletic as he is, and with only 4 years of college hockey and development in his back pocket, you can't tell me that NHL teams would at least not be interested in Clay Stevenson at that point in time.
For sure. And
I mean, he's still out there now in full pads.
Yes, he is. And he's putting in, he's going to utilize all the practice time he can. And I think the NHL is definitely a possibility in that young man's future.
And obviously that shifts the focus to Jack Watson and Joe Howe, and we all know that the baton was going to be handed to those guys when, you know, we found out about Clay Stevenson's situation. And, you know, Jack Watson's obviously going to get a lot of attention over the course of the remainder of the regular season and into the postseason. And, you know, kind of the microscope has been on him over the course of the last little while, but he's definitely showed some good signs that the Express goaltending can still be in very, very good shape with Jack Watson and Joe Howe in between the pipes going forward here.
Yeah, and I thought Watson had a really important game in Trail. And, you know, we were a little worried about a letdown from the team in front of him, and they played well, but Watson played really well too. And he made some huge saves. Obviously, the save coming across on Ozar to get it with the blocker, but also there was a pad save he made early in the third period when it was still 2-1 Express, kept them in front. You know, he played probably his best game that he's played since that shutout he had in Salmon Arm. If that's the Jack Watson that the Express are getting in the playoffs, I mean, I don't think you're going to have to worry about goaltending. And Joe Howe has shown some capability in the net as well. And, you know, it's not like Watson is the only option, but I think right now he's going to have the chance to take that crease, and he's got a backup behind him that'll be pushing for ice time too. And when you have that internal competition, it's only going to do good things for your goaltending, especially in the playoffs.
And they'll also have Clay Stevenson as a mentor as well. And, you know, one of the little things that you brought up to me a few weeks ago as well of Clay Stevenson rubbing off on Joe Howe and Jack Watson, in particular Jack, is just the little detail that Jack had to put in with his glove. And
yep,
he went from the glove that he started the year with, basically a CCM-branded glove, and he tried out one of Clay Stevenson's old gloves that was made by Bauer, and Jack just liked the difference. And since then, Jack has gone on to get a newer version of a similar model of the Bauer glove that Clay Stevenson used. So even that is a little detail that, you know, Clay Stevenson is rubbing off on a guy like Jack Watson.
Yeah, and that stemmed from a game where Watson, I believe it was the game here, where he was pulled, giving up 2 goals and 10 shots. And both of those goals, a puck hit him in the glove and he didn't catch it.
The Cowichan game.
The Cowichan
snapped
game.
The home ice and Vita streak.
That's right. And then after that, the next practice, he was out with Clay's old catching glove. And now he's got himself a brand new Bauer catching glove. And it's that little detail, you're right, really shows Watson's desire to take that next step. You know, when you deal with goalies, there's all the psychological aspect of it. They're weird creatures sometimes. And, You know, changing equipment mid-season, some goalies do it a lot, some goalies never do it because it's such a psychological hurdle to overcome. But Watson did because he realized he had to be better. He made the change, and he's been better since then.
And now we'll kind of shift our focus towards the end of the regular season, and there's one more home game left, and that's going to be on Wednesday night when the Surrey Eagles are going to come to town. And obviously, it's the last opportunity for the Express fans to at least see them in their building, and now knowing that the team has the best record in the BCHL. But there's also going to be a return to the lineup as Ryan Tattle is going to make his return after missing 3+ months of action. He broke his leg basically in a collision late in the third period at the end of October in a game against the Langley Rivermen. Not really a dirty play, just a play that unfortunately had a bad result. Yeah. And, you know, Ryan Tattle's just been chomping at the bit to get back in the lineup.
Yeah, Tattle, for people that don't know him, he is such an energetic person. Like he has been, you know, we've come back from road trips at 2 o'clock in the morning and he's sitting there waiting at the rink for all the boys. And you know, I think he's been trying to get out on the ice and play for the last month and a half. You know, the second he was cleared to skate, he was wanting to push it as far as he could. You know, the doctors and training staff having to hold him back because he's been, like you said, chomping at the bit to get in. So I'm sure he's going to have that little extra bit of energy. And, you know, he's got 3 regular season games here to try and get himself back up to game speed, which for him shouldn't be an issue. He's a great skater. A little bit worried about how he's going to deal with recovering from a leg injury, but knowing him and the work ethic that he's got, I'm not too worried about what he's going to produce.
I would probably think there may be a little nerves early on in Ryan Tattle, but then eventually the adrenaline and the excitement level of just getting back into the line will eventually take over, and any mental hurdles will eventually be washed away.
100%. And looking at that game against Surrey, yes, while the Express are just getting ready, trying to get guys like Tattle back into the lineup and get other guys ready for the playoffs, the Surrey Eagles are still playing for a lot. Mm-hmm. They've had a lot of success against the Chilliwack Chiefs recently, enough to get them into striking distance of second place in the division. They already know they're playing Chilliwack round one, but having home ice advantage against them would be huge. This is going to be a massive game for the Surrey Eagles. You know that the Express are going to have to deal with their absolute best, because Surrey needs those 2 points to give them a legitimate chance of finishing second in the division.
And home ice advantage is definitely huge, just based on the fact that you're going from regulation size ice in Chilliwack to the international size ice in Surrey. And, you know, Surrey has quietly just got better and better and better as the season has gone along. And probably the addition of Reese Claussen in between the pipes from the Western Hockey League has certainly done a significant impact on that. And Christophe Tellier is quietly having a very good season as well, amongst the top scorers in the BCHL.
Yeah, I was going to say, Tellier is quietly the second leading scorer in the BCHL.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at his numbers and you look at him play and you understand he's a really good player, but he's not getting the fanfare that some of the other guys around the league are getting. You know, he's not a drafted player. You know, but he's a good, hardworking, skilled forward. And he's done a lot for that Surrey Eagles team. And I look at that Surrey Eagles team and I see a lot of guys like Tellier, guys that are skilled, they can play with speed, and they utilize the extra space they have at home very well. And that's why that home ice advantage, like you said, is going to be massive in that series. If the Surrey Eagles can pick up home ice advantage over the Chilliwack Chiefs, you got to think they're the favorites to win that series.
And we had some news. I don't know what the situation is. I doubt we'll find anything else out of it. But Matthew Caron, the Chilliwack goaltender, did go down in that game for the Chiefs late in the third period on a play that didn't really look all that bad. He was just basically going from his left post over to his right, and he had his legs spread as he tried to go from post to post and take away the bottom part of the ice. And there was a little bit of contact with him, but not a whole heck of a lot. But Caron's body language, when I went back and watched the video, it was not all that encouraging. It was just basically lying down on his stomach, his head buried into his arms and into the ice, and just shaking his head in some form of frustration. And if Caron is out for any prolonged period of time for Chilliwack, that's got to be concerning for them.
It has. They've run him a lot this year. He's been their guy, and you know, things are starting to take shape in the mainland division, and it could be a very interesting playoffs. Like I said, if Surrey gets home ice advantage, if Caron is out long term, you know, Langley had been struggling, but they came up with a big win in Kitimat at the road show. Could they give the Express, you know, fits in the first round like they did last season to the Chilliwack Chiefs? There's a lot going on in this mainland division. And that's why I'm so excited for the playoffs. Just get through these last 3 games. I want playoff hockey to talk about.
Yeah, it became official on Sunday night, just as the Express are rolling home from Osoyoos after the game against Trail on Saturday with Langley's overtime victory over Prince George. It did officially set a first-round meeting between the Express and Langley and setting up Surrey against Chilliwack in the first round of the postseason. And Prince George is going to be taking on the Trail Smoke Eaters as they cross over into the Interior Division. But one last quick thought on Surrey heading into Wednesday's game. And I believe off the top of my head, the Express have 5 wins against Surrey this year. But Surrey has played the Express very, very competitively this year.
They have, and you know, I believe 2 of those wins for the Express were in overtime, and obviously you don't have the luxury of 3-on-3 when it comes to playoff time. So, you know, when I look at playoff matchups and looking back at regular seasons, it's hard to take any stock in overtime or shootout wins in the regular season because the playoffs is such a different beast when it gets into that extra time. So you kind of almost have to look at those as ties. So if that's the case, you know, 2 overtime wins for the Express over Surrey. Yeah, you won 5 overall, but you were only able to win 3 in 60 minutes. So, you know, we don't want to look ahead. There's still 2 series that have to be played first. But, you know, the Surrey Eagles are definitely a team that's getting hot at the right time. And, you know, if anybody takes them lightly, that could be that dark horse team that you see going on a run.
And before the postseason and after the game against Surrey, our 2 final games against the Prince George Spruce Kings to wrap up the regular season. And the Express know that they've won everything that they can possibly win. And at the end of the day, it's probably just about, you know, just trying to get through those final 2 games and trying to avoid injury and then get ready for when the real fun is going to begin. Something that we've been quietly waiting for a long period of time, just what this Express team will do come the postseason.
Yep. And I think one thing that would be nice is if we could keep those regulation losses under 10, keep it single digits. That would be a cool little tidbit to finish off a great season. But realistically, at this point, you just want to be playing your best hockey. The results in these final 3 games do not matter. Just go into the playoffs playing well, and that's all you have to worry about, because we've seen this Express team win games while not playing well this season. If they end up dropping that game to Surrey or a game to Prince George, but it was a game that they played well and they were playing structured and they were playing, you know, physical, solid defense, and you just happen to lose, I think that's okay, and the coaching staff would know that.
Well, I think on that note, we'll wrap up Episode 5 of the Coquitlam Express Inside Track Podcast, and thanks again for doing this with me, Jacob.
Of course, it's always a pleasure.
And we'll talk to you just as we're getting ready for the postseason when the Express are going to take on the Langley Rivermen in the first round of the BCHL playoffs in the pursuit for the Fred Page Cup. For Jacob Bazaar, I'm Eddie Gregory. Thank you for listening to the Coquitlam Express Inside Track Podcast.